In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Guadalupe, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius, St. John Vianney, all God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Good evening. So I'd like to cut to the quick, as we say in New York. No? This evening, we're going to be talking about a general confession, okay? So we're going to be preparing you to make a general confession this weekend. So we'll try to do as much as we can in about an hour presentation on the sacrament of confession. But it's going to be a general confession. General confession means a confession of our whole life. Now the reasons why we should do it, I can give you. First is that St. Ignatius says we should do it. For me, that's good enough. That's good enough, no? You know, if a saint, a great saint that gave the exercise said we should do a general confession, then we should. We should. Okay, second is, over the past 50 years, there's been a weak catechesis in general throughout the whole world, no? And there's been a weak catechesis on the formation of conscience. I was talking with a priest this afternoon about the conscience. We have the obligation to form our conscience. You can have a lax conscience, a scrupulous conscience, a cauterized conscience, a deformed conscience, a suppressed conscience, a well-formed conscience and a delicate conscience, no? We as priests, we are theologians, we deal at forming the conscience of the people that are entrusted to us. And as a whole, people do not have a well-formed conscience, no? We all have blind spots, so do I, even though, you know, I'm getting old and I've had spiritual directors all my life, but we all recognize that there's certain areas in our conscience still have to be illuminated by the grace of God and proper direction. Another reason, a couple other reasons why would be the following. And this is a moment which we have to be honest to ourselves in truth. Okay, there are certain sins that are very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. Especially against the sixth and ninth commandment. And because of fear and shame, maybe we held them back. So, you know, thank God that you're here today. Because this could be a matter of the salvation or damnation, no? You don't receive the sacraments well, we receive them unto our own condemnation. 1 Corinthians 11, read it. Eating and drinking to your own condemnation. That's one of the strongest passages you have in St. Paul. There are certain sins that they're very embarrassing. They are. You know, maybe incest, maybe, you know, fornication, masturbation, pornography, you know, cheating on your spouse. I mean, they're very embarrassing. And sometimes it's just easy for us to go through the list, but we're not going to mention that one because that's the... So when you receive the sacraments, you have to receive them well. So I'm a real stickler on this fifth week to try to do all I possibly can to prepare you to make the best confession in your life. And it's perfect timing. This is right before Christmas. You know, we want to be born with the infant child Jesus, right? We want to be born mystically with the Lord. So what better way than to make the best confession in our life? Okay, I'm going to make one more general comment, which has repercussions. Statement I'll make has repercussions on the state of the family, the state of the country, and the state of the whole world. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, how many people here are married? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Okay, you hear that? Don't be embarrassed. Okay. Now, when people get married in the church, what are they thinking about the week before they get married?
Wedding.
The comparison between your wedding and the mystical union between Christ and the mystical body of the church. They're thinking about how long is the veil going to be? Is it going to be white or pink? Okay. What color is the carpet going to be? Are you going to have chocolate cake or carrot cake at the reception? Mm-hmm. Are they going to throw rice or the modern fad bubble stuff? That's the modern fad, no? What about picking up at the airport the relatives from Manila, okay? Or Saigon, okay? Or Chicago, huh? So they're thinking more about the social part than the sacramental part, right? 95% of the cases. Okay, I don't want to scandalize you people, but very few people arrive at marriage virgin. I'm not going to say it's impossible. With God's grace, everything is possible. But very few. We already talked about this. Premarital sex is a mortal sin. Make me think of one of the Fulton Sheen stories. There was a little kid that would always watch Fulton Sheen on TV. And his mother was always telling the little boy that he was a very, very intelligent little boy. And Fulton Sheen wrote something on the board. And the little boy said to the mother, he's not that intelligent. He doesn't even know how to spell six. He wrote S-E-X. Okay, so premarital sex, it's a mortal sin. Okay? So what happens if the day of your wedding, you have been sexually active, maybe you missed Mass a couple times, and you haven't made the confession? Double whammy, huh? Double whammy. On the day of your wedding, you have committed a double sacrilege. Sacrilegious marriage and a sacrilegious communion on the day that you got married. Exteriorly, everything seemed to be pomp and circumstance. Everything was A-okay, huh? But in the eyes of God, a double crucifixion. Father, you're pretty blunt. Well, sorry. Someone has to say this. And then what happens? Ever since they get married, they're fighting like cats and dogs. There's no peace, there's no harmony, and there's no joy. There's bitterness. The first kid comes along, then the second kid comes along, then after 8 years, they're separated. You know why? The grace of the sacrament of marriage never arrived. because if you receive a sacrament in the state of mortal sin, the grace is not present. Unless they make these exercises, they're not going to make a general confession. So this is my humble theological opinion, if you can just listen to me. I think this is one of the primary reasons why Catholic marriages end up in divorce. Second would be contraception. So, I think you ought to really praise and thank God that you have the opportunity to make the best confession in your life. This could be the best experience in your whole life. Now, if in your marriage this is not the scenario, okay, we humbly thank God. Humbly thank God. But sad to say, too many couples today get married in that state in which they're placing the social above the sacramental, entering into the church without being reconciled with God through a good sacrament of confession, and that wreaks havoc on the family as well as the society. Now, a book has to be written on this. It has to be. It doesn't have to be long. But a concise, clear book on this for the sake of our family, for the sake of the society, because as John Paul II says, as the family goes, that's the way the society goes. The family is the basic building block of society. Vatican II is the domestic church. So anything I can do as a priest to foster good families, I'll bend over backwards. So in a certain sense, these exercises indirectly is we're fostering good families. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So that is my introductory pitch so that all of us are convinced of the importance of making this general confession. Now this is gonna give you a lot of consolation, I hope. Okay, this afternoon I had two masses. At 4:00 I was with about 400 people, little kids and their parents, in the catechetical mass. I had a free intention. I offered the mass for all you people. What?
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. That's huge. Priest offering a mass for you. But specific intention is that you make a good confession. Then I just finished saying another Mass. I had a primary intention, but my secondary intention was the same. Double whammy. Uh-huh. And myself, as a priest, I try to take advantage of the greatest grace in the world. I'm trying to get as many graces of Mass than I can. I'm more and more keenly aware of the power of the Mass. Do you believe that the Mass is powerful?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
We're just touching the very tip of the iceberg. We are, even priests. As a curé of ours said, if we really knew what Mass was, we would die of love. We die of love, the curé of ours. We really understood what Mass is. I suffer every time I say Mass because that Mass should be jam-packed. And it's almost empty. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And the hearts of many will grow cold. Right? The apocalyptic discourse of Jesus in Matthew. Yeah. A lady came up to me after one of the classes and said, she wasn't confessing, she says, well, I didn't go to Mass on Sunday. She says, yes, said, Father, is that a mortal sin? He said, look, you know, I'm trying to teach you people, use your head. Don't follow your feelings, please. look, you know, we're bending over backwards as priests to help you to get to heaven, take advantage of it. He said, look, lady, that Sunday I put in 14 days. I'm already in my early 60s. I'm sick the whole day. I put in a 14-hour day. You can't go to Mass for 1 hour and I do all the work? Come on. Give me a break. Give me a break. Putting in these long hours, Father Larry gave me the 6:15 Mass. It was a long, long day. Working until 8 o'clock. Forget about lunch. Forget it. No. Forget about eating. Give me a little bit of oatmeal. Work the whole day then. Now, I told this lady this, not to pat myself on the back, but just to give her an idea how ludicrous it is that here you got someone who's double your age, bend over backward for you people, and you can't just sit in a church there for 58 minutes, listen to a 20-minute homily that's well-prepared in Spanish, and receive the Eucharist. But the primary reason is you don't believe in the Eucharist. John chapter 6, that's the biggest problem in the world. John chapter 6, what's that? It's the Eucharist. Catholics no longer believe in the Eucharist. They no longer believe. How could you believe in the Eucharist and miss Mass on Sunday? I'm using logic. You know, I missed Mass once in my life because in New York there was a snowstorm. We couldn't get out of the house. The only time in my life. Only time in my life. Why? Because my parents believe. My dad's dead, and God rest his soul. My mom, she believes. My mom's in her late 80s. She'll travel 35 miles there in New Hampshire, 10 degrees below zero, to go to a daily Mass. In her late 80s. That's a woman of faith. If you got a son who's a priest, that's me, no? That's faith. So I would tell you people, anyone meets me tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the morning, I will give you $5 billion. How many people would come? But how about if I said I'm going to offer Mass for you at 4 o'clock in the morning? No, Father, 6:15 in the evening, huh? But the fact is, we believe more in the material world than the spiritual world. The temporal goes beyond the eternal. The physical over the spiritual. The tangible over the mystical, if I can speak poetically, no? We don't believe in the Eucharist. But you know, you have to reason. You've got to use your head. That's why these exercises, you know, you don't have to have a PhD in theology, do these exercises, but you have to use your head. You got to use your noggin, huh? Now I'm convinced. How could anyone miss Mass on Sunday if he or she believes in the Eucharist? It's because the faith is very weak. And if you look at it, you put seeing a movie or sleeping in or having a pizza and beer over the Eucharist, that's idolatry. That's pure idolatry. And the saddest thing is you're rejecting love. Are you aware of the fact that the Mass is related to Calvary? That Jesus shed his blood on Calvary? So by not going to Mass, you're rejecting Calvary. That's terrible. That's terrible. And if you ever read literature, one of the common themes is love is not loved. The heart is broken. Jesus is not loved. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. So I'm, until I die, I'm, maybe you can help me, try to get as many people back to Mass, get the reverts, but try to get as many people to go to daily Mass. It's hard work, my friends. Very hard work. Sometimes I feel it's, if I can use a philosophical expression, an exercise in futility. I really feel that, no? Ever hear that phrase? An exercise of futility. Sometimes I feel, though, it's a bad spirit working on me. Sometimes I feel, what's the purpose? These people don't believe anyway. They're not going to do anything. That's the bad spirit, though. Bad spirit works a lot on the priest. Don't ask to have our temptations even one day of your life. Probably won't wake up. But the essence of sin, as Fulton Sheen says, is hurting the one you love. Very good definition. Hurting the one that you love and hurting the one that wants to be loved back. Love is a two-way street. So hopefully all of you are going to make a good general confession. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go through the steps. Okay, we're going to be giving you a little pamphlet. I've already written out a new general, it hasn't been approved by the diocese yet, but mine is much better. I'm not bragging either, no? But mine is more modern, but it doesn't have the imprimatur yet. So my superiors have, under obedience, told me not to give it out. So I obey. But this is pretty darn good. It's pretty good. We're going to be giving you this. And then most people who make their gender confession spend 4 hours preparing for it. Okay? So you want to give yourself a whole morning without interruption. Okay? Whole morning without interruption. Are you a morning person, or are you a night owl, or are you an afternoon bird? Okay? Yeah, I would say, when are you best during the day? I'm a morning person. I can get a lot done in the morning, get a good night's rest, say, do my holy hour, a good cup of coffee, I'm ready. So you want to give yourself a good block of time of silence, and if you want, have the image of Divine Mercy, have the image of Mary, and have the image of Jesus crucified. Those are the three images that elicit true repentance. Our Lady, Mother Mercy, Divine Mercy, but also the cross, because our sins are responsible for Jesus being crucified. Okay? Now this, your examination is not going to supplant your meditation, but this is a spiritual exercise that will take several hours. These are spiritual exercises, okay? They go beyond your meditation. Then start by praying the Hail Mary. Say the Hail Mary then. Ask Mary, she's known as Mother Mercy. Hail Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Ask Mary to give you the grace to make a really good confession. Then pray to the Holy Spirit. You know who the master of this 10-week program is? Father Broome! Nope. No. The Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
The Holy Spirit. He's the master. I'm the unworthy instrument, okay? But he's the master. So if you pray the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten your mind and move your heart. Those are two faculties that the confession has to prepare. Enlighten your mind to see your sins. To touch your heart so that you arrive at true repentance and a really desire to change. So it's not simply a head experience, it's a head-heart experience. It's an experience of the whole person. Then, you're going to be reading through the booklet, and all the confessions, the gender confessions you make, we make, they have to be written. Because if you don't write it, we all experience what are called senior moments. Okay? You know what a senior moment is? You're probably going to say you forgot, right? Okay, senior moment is we have a tendency to forget. Special one, we're under pressure. You're going to write out your sins. Now don't leave your sins on the counter. Okay, or on the kitchen table. Okay, this is top secret, okay? Okay, to make a good confession, now this is just basic catechism that has been lost over time, the five traditional steps. So just go through the five traditional steps making your confession, but you're going to be going deeper, and this is a confession of your whole life. Okay, so examination of conscience. Okay, that's the first step. What are you going to examine your conscience on? You're going to, on the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. So love is measured by obedience. Okay? Obeying the Word of God. Amen? So here you have your commandments. Now, in this confession, during your examination, constantly, the second step is contrition. We can also call that sorrow. Now, contrition or sorrow, there's two types. There's attrition and contrition, which means imperfect sorrow and perfect sorrow. Now, somebody's saying, what the heck does that mean, Father? Well, I'll explain it to you. Okay? So the imperfect, called attrition, is good enough to receive absolution, and that is motivated by one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is called fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. There's nothing wrong with fear of the Lord. So I'm going to give up these sins because I fear the justice of God and a just punishment. So I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give up living with my girlfriend because I don't want to go to hell. That's good enough to be absolved. It's good enough. But you want to go beyond that. You want to arrive at perfect contrition. We call it contrition of love. And that means I don't want to sin because I love God. And He loves me, and I don't want to do anything underneath the skies, underneath the sun, that's going to be hurting the one that I love so much. That's perfect contrition. Now, I'm explaining this to you, but it's a supernatural grace that you got to beg for. Right, so that's why I offer the Mass, that God will give you that supernatural grace. Yes? Because you hear me, you understand it, right? Your heart has to move in that direction and accept that. Not all have that. Prayer is a supernatural grace. In fact, if you're praying, you're doing your meditation every day, that's... You know, supernatural means it means it goes beyond the natural. On the natural level, a natural activity would be eating a hamburger with your pal here, okay? A papitas, a hamburger and having French fries. But even a dog can do that. A dog, you throw it a hamburger, a dog can chow down a hamburger. But the dog is not going to be kneeling down and praying prayers, okay? That transcends nature. Well, that dog's pretty pious there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Good enough, but
no, it's good enough.
But you know how I mean.
But you want to go beyond that. You want to go beyond that. Okay.
But sometimes you're ready for certain sins, and sometimes you're in attrition, contrition, dependence on the sin, right? Sometimes, and you have to recite the act of contrition.
Yes.
And then, like, it doesn't feel good sometimes because I'm like, there's things that I know
I'm
not perfect.
Okay. We're going to arrive at the third step. I think you're heading toward the third step. Okay, you committed a sin, you feel bad, but the third step would be firm purpose of amendment. You're all looking at me very quizzically as if you've never heard that before. Okay, firm purpose. I learned this when I was in second grade in St. Anthony's in New York, you know, by the Dominican nuns, and I've never forgotten it. Firm purpose of amendment. Second grade, no? Back 50 years, we had to memorize this. Otherwise, we couldn't go to confession. In John Paul II in Catechesis Tridentis said, we've got to go back to memorize the basic truths. Amen? We don't. We got to memorize our prayers of basic truths. Now, what this means is this: you're sorry, but you're going to try to no go. You're going to try not to go back and commit that same sin. You're going to try. Now, if you fall because of weakness, okay, we're weak. But when you go in the confessional, I'm going to try not to go back and do that same sin. This also entails, I will avoid any person, place, or thing, or circumstance that's going to be leading me into sin. You got it. Near occasion of sin, and I like to use a couple of, you know, sound like cliches, but they hit the... He who plays with fire is going to get burnt. He who walks on a slippery slope is going to slip and fall. He who walks on ice is going to fall in. So, as long as you, okay, you're aware by committing that sin, you hurt God. And God loves you. And you love Him. You don't want to do anything to hurt your relationship with your greatest lover, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do all I possibly can to avoid that person, place, or thing. If you have that attitude, it's good enough. I really like what you say, because sometimes you don't really feel it on an emotional level. And there are some people that are more emotional than others. For example, I consider my mom to be a holy person. She's got German, Scotch, Irish blood. She's not emotional. She's not. But I think she's a person that really has a very deep faith. But She's never been overly mushy, cloyingly sweet, or emotional. That's just the way a lot of German people are. I mean, that's part of our culture, no? So it doesn't always depend upon an overflowing feelings, but it's the decision in your will. What do you think? Okay, then if what you're saying is, well, I don't really want to give up that sin, that's bad will on your part. And that's kind of, if you have no intention to give up that sin, then that would be bad confession. Yeah. That'd be a bad confession.
It's also part of the whole, like, I guess, act of contrition?
Yeah. Well, we say the classical one is, you got attrition and perfect contrition. What? Okay, okay. The thing is this: when you make that confession, are you going to try to change? Good. Okay. Okay. Let me maybe build upon that. Do you know what the principle of graduality is? Because the principle of graduality is this. You might be committing sins that you've been committing over the past 40 years of your life. So you've got a bad habit. Okay, a bad habit is called a vice. A good habit is called a virtue. For example, the most common one would be this, pornography. Say, for example, someone comes and makes a confession after 20 years and has been involved in pornography for 25 years. Does that mean that that person making that confession is no longer going to be tempted? It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. But if that person were sorry and says, I'm going to try to avoid it, that's a good enough confession. But what might happen is this. He goes to confession after 20 years. He's been falling into pornography and masturbation twice a day for 20 years. So he goes to confession. What happens is, he goes to confession, and one day, no porn. 2 days, no porn. 3 days, no porn, and then he's kind of patting himself on the back, and the following day he falls 3 times. Was that a good confession he made?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. So what has happened is, instead of falling 2 times a day, he went 3 days without falling at all. Then because of his pride, and he didn't pray that following day, he fell flat on his face, and he fell 3 times. So God allowed him to fall 3 times in one day, rather than 2. Then he goes back to confession, with great humility and then sincerity, makes a confession, and he goes 2 weeks without falling. He's never done that in his life. He falls again, then he comes back with greater humility, a whole month without falling. And he's going a whole year, and after a year struggling, 6 months without falling, he falls. And then humility, then he goes a whole year without falling. But this took several years for him to arrive at this habit. Is that clear? So we as confessors were taught what is called the principle of graduality. Help the person a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. This could be drinking. It could be sex. It could be una chismosa. It could be telling lies. It could be maybe something as simple as overeating. I mean, we all have our devils we have to work with, right? Is that clear now?
Yeah, no.
What?
It is.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because part of it is this, is that I know when I go to confession, I don't feel anything. Really, I really don't feel anything when I go to the priest. Then I'll receive absolution. Then very often, after we receive absolution, I have twice as many temptations right after confession. Did I make a good? I think I made a really good confession, but the devil is going after me because he sees that I was repentant, and God is allowing the devil to go out so I can fortify myself in the opposite virtue. Now, I can't say this to everyone, but a group like this, I can say that. Yeah, I think it's happened to you people. You make a confession, and within 6 hours, you're being attacked interiorly and something even by people, right? So that God is allowing you to be fortified in that opposite virtue. See, the spiritual life is warfare. We're going to be teaching you that in about a week. Spiritual life is a warfare. We are in war until we die. Until we die, we're in warfare. And what are the three enemies? The devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil works 8 days a week, 25 hours a day, 366 days a year. This is called hyperbole, right? Literary flair to emphasize a point, as they say in lit, huh? So You know, we're in battle against the devil, huh? The flesh doesn't want to obey the spirit. They're at odds. And the world, according to Roger Marine, is the most dangerous. The world wants to seduce us into thinking that true happiness can be found here. What did Our Lady say to Saint Bernadette? Only in heaven. True happiness can only be found in heaven. But don't forget, I prayed for you. Say, thank you, Father. I believe in the power of the Mass. Not because it's me. The power of the Mass, that's the blood of Jesus Christ has already descended upon you. You're going to make a great confession. You got to trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in Jesus Christ. It'll be the best confession in your life. And the fact that people may become the confession, well, I'm confessing this, but I am really weak. That's a good attitude. That's a very good attitude because it forces you to rely not on yourself, rely on God. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is with us. The Lord is my shepherd. There is... Because some of you know the Bible, okay? Okay? At least a little bit, okay? Okay, so that's the third step. You have to make that firm purpose. And I, given that I love Marian devotion and I try to get everyone to consecrate themselves to Mary, ask Mary to give you the grace to really be sorry and make a firm purpose of amendment. Ask Mary. Ask Mama Mary. She's not going to abandon you. Still, we really believe very few of us understand the power of the intercession of the Blessed Mother. Do any of you believe in that? Poco, right?
No.
Un poquito, no?
No.
Muy poquito? Muchísimo, which means very much, right? Okay. Okay, the next step is, so up to this point, you haven't even arrived at the confessional, okay? 1, 2, and 3. As Mary Ann Budnick says in her book, Seeking Peace, Try Confession, she says that 95% of making a good confession is what you do before you enter the confessional. The theologians speak about what is called dispositive grace. Now, what is dispositive grace means? That you receive graces commensurate with or in proportion to your preparation. So the better the disposition, the more the graces. So the better you prepare yourself, the more abundant the graces, because receiving a sacrament is a direct encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a sacrament. It's a sacrament is a direct encounter with Jesus Christ. So the grace, the fault is not in the sacrament. The fault is in the recipient of the sacrament. Right? The fault is not in Jesus. The fault is in this imperfect instrument that doesn't dispose him or herself as he or should. Okay, so the fourth is you got to confess to the priest. Now let me give you a couple of tips now on this. On one occasion, St. Faustina came out of the confessional after she made a confession and she was not at peace. Jesus appeared to her and she said, why do I do not experience peace? And Jesus said, because you didn't pray for the priest before you went to confession. Good point. You hear that, Bingo? Mm-hmm. Name is Bingo. So pray for the priest. Pray to my guardian angel. He's very busy. Make sure that your guardian angel is very busy too. Hopefully they're both going to be very busy in that confessional, okay? And part of the work of the guardian angel, according to Thomas Aquinas, he gives a lot of light. You need to communicate light. We want a lot of light when we go to confession, not darkness. Sin is darkness. Light is the presence of the good angels. Okay, next, when you enter the confessional, all of you are going to be giving a certain slot. It's going to be either Friday or Saturday. We're going to be giving you a slot, and you're going to be having several confessors that are going to be confessing many hours Friday and Saturday. Okay, you may have to wait. You may have to wait a little while. We'll try to on those days to expose the Blessed Sacrament in the old church, so you can be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And just going to have to wait until your time comes. And once you arrive, then you enter the confessional. Now make sure that you close the door. Eavesdroppers, otherwise. Now, I'm sometimes shocked. The people go, they leave the door open. I'm bewildered. Why would anyone leave the door open? Now, sometimes I just get up and I'll just close it. Oh, say, you can't close the door. They can hear the sentence, no? You close the door. And obviously that person, when he or she leaves, will shut the door. So when you leave the door open. Otherwise, okay. It's called common sense, okay?
It's called common sense. You just forget everything.
Yeah. Okay, then, let's go back to basics. Remember the way that both of you learned years ago? You make the sign of the cross and you say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was a month ago." That's not an archaic, obsolete practice of the Middle Ages. It should be done today. No one does it today, but it should be done.
They don't say that?
No, very few. That's why I'm saying there's just been a dearth of catechesis over the past few years. Yeah. In other words, I'm trying to catechize. There's so much ignorance today, sometimes I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. And then, you come in, you go behind the screen, you start. You know why? Because I don't know what language to speak. If you don't start, most of my confessions are in Spanish. So if you don't say anything, I'll probably speak in Spanish, and you're going to say, "I don't speak Spanish." Or red, white, red. I'm irritated inside. Okay, I'm already in a bad mood. You got me in a bad mood. Okay. And red, when that happens, red, I'm frustrated. No. So if you know how to confess well, it makes it much easier for the priest. Otherwise, you're loading our cross more. Okay, we've got another 5 hours to go. We got this person. He doesn't know even what he or she's doing. In other words, try to learn to confess well. The two most important things you can do in your life is receive Holy Communion and confess. Do it well. Don't be sloppy. Don't be sloppy. Do it well. I love assertive people that come in and know what they're doing. Very rare. Those assertive people, they take the bull by the horns and they come in. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 10 days ago or 10 weeks ago. These are my sins." Wow. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. That person knows how to do it, no? That's why. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to remember that. It's not that complicated. But if that's done well, the introduction, at least you got me in a good mood. Otherwise, we're kind of floundering. Now, do I speak Spanish or English? When was your last confession? The first 2 minutes, we're kind of fighting to start off. No? So do it well. Do it well. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 3 weeks ago. Okay, this is a general confession. These are my sins." That's the way you should start. Okay. You hear me? "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Okay. My last confession was 2 months ago. This is my general confession. These are my sins." cut to the quick. Go for it. Okay, now the qualities of a good confession according to your friend Saint Faustina, hopefully she's your friend, okay, is three conditions: transparency, humility, and obedience. You hear that? Mm-hmm. Transparency. Got to be clear. There was a program years ago with Joe Friday called Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Yeah. So you got to be clear. Don't be murky. Clear. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit is transparency. Next is humility. Got to be humble. Got to be humble. Father, I fight with my husband, but if you knew him, you would cut a lot of slack, huh? It's called putting whipped cream over cow dung. That's what it's called, huh? Do you like my graphic New York images? Ha. You're honeycoating it. No, call a spade a spade. You're my pan pan e vino vino, as they say in Spanish, huh? Tell the truth. You know, it's called the butt confession. You know, I get angry at my husband, but kick the butt in the butt? No. That's a lack of humility. You're trying to soft pedal it. You're trying to justify. You're trying to rationalize. So you're diminishing the graces because of your pride. That's what she says. You got to be humble. And obedient means, okay, what the priest tells you, obey. Okay, I want you to pray 6 Hail Marys. How about 3, Father? Give me a break. It's an arm wrestle, okay? Ah, you won. You know, anything can happen. But what I try to do, what I try to do, as in penance, I really try to make it as clear as possible, and make sure that the penitent does the penance. With an elderly person, I'll actually do it with that person because the elderly person might forget what it was when she leaves the confession. I'll actually do it right there. Okay, for your penance, the Hail Mary, let's say it together. So once we say it together, it's done. Because I'm a stickler on, you know, you got to do the 5 steps. And there are people that forget the 5th step and then it's incomplete. Are you forgiven? Yes, but it's not well done. It's a sloppy confession. You don't want to be sloppy. Okay, now another element in number 4 is this. And what I'm going to say now is, everything I said has been pretty important, but what I'm going to say now is very important. Okay, now this is canon law in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Mortal sins, you've got to tell the number and species. Remember that?
Number, kind.
Kind. Species would be the technical, theological word. The number of times and what type of sin it was. Specifically in the 6th and 9th commandment. Now some of you are thinking, well, Father, how on earth am I going to be able to tell you the number and kind I'm 55 years old. Right? Or maybe 58. You're 58. 84. Or maybe you're 40. How can I remember 40 years of sin? How can I remember? Okay. Maybe you're not a good mathematician, but the Holy Spirit is. He is. Maybe you can't remember, but the Holy Spirit can hone in on helping you to see your life. You can hit the nail on the head. So if that's not done, once again, the confession is imperfect. It's incomplete. So I'll give you an example, okay? Two fiancés, they're going to get married. And John comes in, says, well, okay, Father, you know, I haven't been to confession in a year. Actually, Father's been 2 years, no? And, I'll be honest, okay? I miss Mass. I had premarital sex, and I got drunk, and it looked pornography. Okay. And I say, okay, well, it happened just once, and he becomes a coyote, no? Ooh! Aullando, as they say in Spanish, huh? Premarital sex, just once? Oh, no. Twice a week for 2 years. More than 200 times. Go to Mass on Sunday? Well, I just went once a month. Well, what's that? 2 years? And it hit me about 70 times. You got drunk? Just once. Oh. No, it was every weekend and holidays for these 2 years. How about pornography? Well, I was addicted to that. So it was every day. So what happened, if I did not specify that, there would be maybe 500 mortal sins that were not confessed. Analogy. The woman goes to the doctor to do a mammogram. Got something there. Cancer. Within a month, got to get you in, have an operation. So there's a big lump there. Okay, so you go into the surgery, and the surgery takes 7 hours. When you wake up, and the anesthesia has worn off mostly, and you're in your senses, what is the first question you're going to ask the surgeon?
Did you get it all?
Obviously, right? Mm-hmm. The surgeon says, well, I think I got 50% of it. Going to be happy with that? And it casts into desolation, right? But the surgeon says, look, someone walks in the door, and there's another surgeon, and both of them are the best surgeon in USC. And they both said, we've been working on breast surgery, cancer surgery the past 20 years. Both of us are the top notch, the best doctors in the hospital. We got it all. You going to be happy with that? Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah. Super happy. When you go to confession, the priest is a soul surgeon. We're spiritual doctors. You want to make sure that in that operation we get it all out. Get it all out. And what great timing, because as Jesus is being born, he's going to be born in your heart through a good confession. So this is the best time of the year. This is going to be the happiest Christmas in your whole life. You're going to be starting off the new year 2018. It's going to be the best year of your life. Amen? That's going to be my prayer. 2018 is going to be the best year in your life because it's a year in which you're going to be really growing your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So there you have it. You've got to confess the sins to the priest. And the fifth step, as we mentioned, we alluded to it, is you've got to carry out the penance. You know, when I was a seminarian in Rome, my formator said, whatever the priest gives you, always double it.
What?
Double it. Oh. Father Manini, when I was being formed many years ago. And I always try to do that. No? So the priest gives me a deck of the rosary. Usually, I'll pray the whole rosary. Five times as much. No? Read a passage of the read a chapter of the Bible. Well, I'll read two. And that's good because that shows real magnanimity. That shows real, you know, goodwill. And God is aware of the fact when you go in with a lot of goodwill, God is gonna quadruple you in graces if you come in with goodwill. So try to carry out what I was trying to say is when I give a penance, I try to give it in such a way that it can be carried out. If it ever happens that a priest tells you to do a penance and you can't do it, talk to the priest. For your penance, I want you to go to Mexico and to visit Our Lady Guadalupe and go there 9 days in a row and nine masses in honor of Our Lady Guadalupe. Can't go, Father. I don't have documents, okay? You know, dialogue with a priest. That's a pretty heavy penance, isn't it? No? So if we're such that you can't carry it out, tell the priest. We're trained to dialogue. Okay, then, after the penance is given, well, at the end of the confession, you say the act of contrition. Do you know it?
Happily, it's
printed. Okay, but it's a good idea for you to memorize the act of contrition. And not the cheapie, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's a cheapie from post-Vatican II. No? Say the longer one. The longer one is much more complete. And it has the two types of contrition, imperfect and perfect. It has fear of the fire of hell, but also has, especially, our love for God. We don't want to sin because we don't want to hurt God. So, then you leave the confessional, try to do that penance as soon as possible, and trust in the infinite mercy of God by making that confession. All of your sins are forgiven, and you are born again. And as the prophet Isaiah says, even though your sins be as scarlet, they'll become as white as the snow. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to be praying for you that you're going to be making the best confession in your life.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
I think I know the answer, and I'm compelled to ask. If there's something on this list that I've already confessed,
yes.
I listen to
throw it out anyway. I'm talking in general now, if it is such that you have hidden a sin, because of shame or fear, then every time you go to confession, it's not a good confession because you're hiding that sin because of fear or shame. So the general confession, get it all out. Now we're gonna insist that you just write down your mortal sins because we're short priests. We have, what, about 150, something like that. We got big numbers, and we don't have too many priests. Just go through your mortal sins. And that'll be it. Okay? Okay? So God bless you and
okay. I miscalculated. I didn't. The last time I was here,